The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. This show comes to you on Friday, August 20th, and we're going to review day one of Giants-Browns joint practices. And here to help me do that up early this morning to help us out is Zach Rosenblatt of NJ Advanced Media. Zach, thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ed.
So I'm not in Cleveland this week. Hopefully I'll be in New England next week for joint practices with the Patriots. That's a little closer to home for me than Ohio, so I'll be trying to make the trip over to Foxborough. But Zach, you're in Ohio for these, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on it. And we have to start with I think just with the fact that the Giants and Browns, not like the Titans and Bucks or Raiders and Rams, the Giants and Browns actually made it through practice on Thursday without any fisticuffs.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. Logan Ryan had a, Ryan comment. Obviously he was involved in their brawl earlier in camp. And he said, we had our fights for camp already. I think Joe made it pretty clear to these guys that nobody is getting in any fights. I mean, even the very hint of anything, like Rodarius Williams at one point had a stop against JoJo Natson, I think is his name, on the Browns, and he stood over him and started taunting him. And as soon as he did that, Patrick Graham and Jerome Henderson just kind of let him have it. They yelled at him, So I don't get the sense that if there's going to be any fights, it's going to come from the Giants. And I know Malik Jackson on the Browns was getting chippy with Nick Gates a little bit, but never escalated to anything. And as Logan said, he didn't feel like it was the level of intensity where that was going to happen. Because a lot of times at these practices, the intensity is just ramped up. But I think that they kept it pretty fairly low. There was competition. There was the 2-minute drill at the end that was intense. There's some 11-on-11 stuff, but it wasn't I know Evan Engram called it a game day vibe. I didn't really get a game day vibe from it. It was more a scrimmage, I would say.
I don't know about you, but I understand, testosterone and adrenaline and getting pumped up and competing and all of that. But I never understand, you're working, you're trying to get better. I never understand the need for all of the fights and losing control of your emotions like that in these joint workouts.
You mean you don't understand why Antonio Brown ripped off a guy's helmet and punched him yesterday? You don't understand that?
No. And I mean, I don't understand why, a few years ago at a Giants practice, Damon Harrison, swung a 6-pound helmet at Will Hernandez's head when Hernandez wasn't wearing his helmet.
Yeah, that's insane. I never get that kind of, I get heat of the moment. Sometimes you don't realize what you're doing, but you're putting guys life at risk at that point. So, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, especially because, not only are you doing something that's detrimental like to yourself, but you're going to get a penalty for your team. You might get thrown out. You might get suspended. You might lose money. Like, is it really all worth it just because a guy, you know, got chippy with you? Like, or it's because he shoved you after a play. Like, is it really worth all of that? Like, these guys get fined. Like, for them, it's not a lot of money, I guess, a lot of the times, but when they get fined, you know, multiple grand, like they get fined like $10,000 or whatever, that's a lot of money. So I never get that, especially, I mean, in camp, I guess there's no fines and stuff, but yeah, it's weird. But I mean, luckily the Giants, you know, they learned their lesson, I think, last time. I don't foresee any more fights going forward. And I wonder if one did happen, if Judge would still be able to stop practice with the Browns there too.
Yeah, that would be interesting, but hopefully we don't get there today. Hey, I wanted to ask you, let's turn to the actual practice itself, to what we saw on the field. And I read a few of the practice reports, and you know, one of the Browns writers, I think, you know, in The Athletic, wrote that, you know, clearly in his mind, clearly the Browns were the better team, but I had the impression that the Giants had their moments, that practice was kind of back and forth, that the Giants offense, aside maybe from the Daniel Jones interception that apparently ended practice, that the Giants offense, you know, did all right. Just some thoughts on what you saw, I guess, particularly from the Giants offense on Thursday.
Yeah, I think I agree with the overall assessment that the Browns were better. I think everybody knows that their roster is more talented, even with guys like Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney and Denzel Ward and Odell Beckham not playing. They still have a lot of talent on that team. But yeah, offensively, you know, I mean, you've been at a lot of practices. Like, it's been pretty uneven generally, I would say, would be the word to use. I mean, there's been some good days, some bad days throughout camp, and that kind of was what was the case yesterday. I think there were some good moments. I think Daniel Jones overall was pretty solid. He had some bad throws. You know, there's a couple drops. There's maybe some spots where the offensive line broke down, but I think generally they held their own pretty well. Outside of, like you mentioned, that last, they had a game, they did a 2-minute drill, that the first play was a sack. I think the second they had a, and then yeah, the second play was the interception, and that's how you lose games. So, I mean, that's a concern, and there's still concerns about the offense, and a lot of their key guys are hurt. But I think it was a solid practice overall is what I would call it.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of the guys are hurt. And, you know, in case people don't know, Saquon Barkley is practicing, but Saquon is not taking part really in any of these 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 periods at this point. Kenny Golladay is not practicing. Kyle Rudolph is not practicing. I think John Ross, you know, among, you know, wide receivers is not practicing.
There is Tony. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, I know I'm missing somebody, but pretty bad at this point, you know, when you're this far into training camp and you can't remember the first round pick.
I mean, it is crazy. I mean, that's kind of like you can say, like, okay, he doesn't have all his weapons, but at the same time, these are all new guys. So it almost is more concerning because, you know, he's not getting reps with these guys, which I think is a real concern. I mean, you know, the whole idea last year was, you know, Daniel Jones didn't have time outside of like training camp. They didn't have a preseason and all that last year. And this year he's like missing all of that with these injured guys. So it's going to be, it wouldn't surprise me if you come out at the beginning of the season, this offense is a little disjointed, if assuming Kenny Golladay, Saquon, Kadarius, even Kyle Rudolph are back or close to it. Like, it's going to be interesting. Like, maybe this offense isn't at its best until midseason, but yeah, that, I think that's definitely something to keep in the back of your mind, I would say.
Yeah, that actually is a concern, because the new guys, as we said, Golladay, Tony, a lot of those guys are ones that you'd want to get reps with to, as you know, as coaches say, to build that chemistry. Let me ask you this. I look at, you know, the Giants spent a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of draft capital to upgrade the weapons around Daniel Jones. And I look at the expectation, you know, some people would like to say, oh, they spent all this money and draft picks and everything, They should have this high-flying, high-scoring offense. I don't look at it that way. The Giants were 31st in the league last year in offense, in points scored. You know, thank you for the Jets, you know, being out there. But I look at it this way. I think they averaged 17 points a game. League average was about 25. To me, I think if the Giants can get to league average or slightly above league average with the quality of defense that they have, to me, that's enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you look at it the same way, or, you know, to me, that's enough to put them in a position where they can compete, you know, to win 8, 9, maybe more games than that, and at least be a factor.
I mean, I think that's pretty clear. If you even just look at last year, you know, they were 6-10 in a game out of the division with the second worst offense in the league. And that just tells you that their offense is just literally what was holding them back. If their offense scores more than 17 points a game, they win a couple more games. They had a lot of close losses. And so ultimately it just comes down to, even if they're league average or even slightly below league average, if the defense is as good or better than it was last year, this is easily a 9-win team, I think. So, the offense is going to be the story for this team until we get any signs that they're ready to take the next step. I don't know if we've necessarily seen them yet. You know, there's been flashes here and there. There's not consistency. The offensive line, I still have a lot of questions about. You know, Daniel Jones has to be consistent and not turn the ball over and all that. So until we see this offense together, it's like so hard to figure this team out, I think. Like, predictions are going to be hard this year, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And the way things are going, you know, we may see them together. We talked about that, I think, last year as well, and we never really saw, you know, the offense in its entirety because Saquon was out all year. But let's talk about the offensive line a little bit. Now, you know, the caveat, in case people don't know, in the joint practice yesterday, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, the two Cleveland, you know, starting and obviously high caliber defensive ends, edge rushers, whatever you want to call them, you know, did not participate in the team portions of practice. So it's not a clear look at, you know, the Giants offensive line versus Cleveland's best defensive line. But the real question is, you know, with whoever was out there for Cleveland, what did you see, you know, from the Giants offensive line, especially the starting group? Was it encouraging at all?
Yeah, I would say it's progress, you know, because I think they've had their rough moments at times. I mean, in the preseason game, they actually were pretty solid if you move past the Matt Peart sack. You know, during, they had like some one-on-one drills. I wasn't like completely focused on them because I was watching 7-on-7s, but I know Andrew Thomas and Will Hernandez, I think even Matt Peart in particular, looked pretty good in those. And Shane Lemieux was getting all the first team reps in the team drills, which I think is the first time since he injured his knee. So that's progress. I mean, he's still not like a guarantee or anything at guard, but yeah, I mean, I think it was solid. Like you said, like, you're not going against the Browns' best group. It's still an NFL defensive line. They have some talented guys on it, some veterans, and they look solid. You know, there's still times where the pocket broke down and Daniel had to get rid of it and maybe like had an errant throw or whatever, but any sign of progress is good. I still think they're going to look to add somebody, whether it's via trade or free agency, whether that's for depth or actual starter competition. Like, I just think they know that they need at least, you know, a backup plan if one of these guys doesn't work out. I don't necessarily know they have any of that, especially like even a guy like Nate Solder, who they seem to be relying on pretty heavily, is still limited. You know, they just signed Ted Larson, a veteran, and they have Jonathan Harrison. Like, I don't know if any of those guys necessarily inspire confidence if they have to start. So
I know they don't inspire confidence in the fan base.
Yes, that's true.
I do find it interesting. I don't know if you do as well. I mean, I understand the Giants had the two retirements of the two veteran players, and then they had Kyle Murphy with an ankle injury land on IR. And he's a guy that spent the back half of last season on the 53 man roster, even if he didn't play. And people online on my Twitter feed, in the comments at Big Blue View, they always say, well, look at this depth. What was the backup plan? You know, why isn't there a backup plan? Well, the backup plan is on IR and retired. So I mean, it takes time. I think there was a backup plan. It just sort of amazes me that people say, what was the plan? I don't know if you kind of have the same impression. I mean, the Giants have to add some depth, but it's not because they didn't plan it. It's because of what's happened in training camp.
Yeah, I mean, you start out training camp and you feel pretty good about the backups with Joe Looney and Zach Fulton, and, you know, even Kenny Wiggins kind of came out of nowhere and was getting a lot of reps, and has some experience, although it's clear why he's kind of been bouncing around the league the last couple of years. But I don't think they can go into the season with the offensive line group they currently have. I know they believe in Andrew Thomas, and I think they viewed at least Andrew Thomas and Nick Gates as like the sure things on this offensive line. I'm even skeptical that Andrew Thomas is a sure thing. I think he's looked pretty good, but you know, he started pretty bad last year. You need a full 16 games of good play from him. Matt Peart is a big question. He's inexperienced. Will Hernandez, you know, I think he's struggling in camp. They didn't even trust him enough last year to put him back in the lineup. And Shane Lemieux was like the worst graded guard in the NFL by Pro Football Focus. So I think we all thought this was their biggest need coming in the offseason. They made the bold choice to stick with the guys they have. And maybe I get the thought process there, but I think they need to bring in somebody that at least can push, especially in the interior. I think the guards in particular I'm worried about. So if they can bring in a guard that can actually push Lemieux and push Hernandez, I think that would be ideal.
Yeah, the one thing that doesn't make sense to me is Giants fans that you know are in my timeline keep pushing for Austin Ryder, who was the starting center in Kansas City a year ago. And to me, I get the fact that Ryder is at least an adequate, you know, NFL center and could do that job. But to me, that move doesn't make sense for the simple reason that you don't want to sort of blow this offensive line up, because then you've got to play Nick Gates at guard and you're moving Gates to guard. And I don't think that's a road the Giants want to go down right now. I don't know if you feel like that's something that they should think about, but I just don't think you want to reshuffle everything at this point.
Yeah. I think that's a fair point. While I agree with you, I don't know if I would rule that out necessarily. I think they would get, like, if they saw a guy that they view as like an upgrade at center, and then you could put Nick Gates at right guard, I think they would consider doing it. I wouldn't do it necessarily, but they need to get the best five out there, whatever that looks like. And if you have to move Nick, then maybe they move him. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be one of the interesting things. This group is already so thin, and then if any of these starters get hurt, then they're even more trouble. So, I get the sense that they're going to try and make a trade or, you know, grab somebody on the waiver wire or something like that. But we'll see.
Yeah, I find it interesting that they're in Cleveland this week, and the Browns happen to be one of those NFL teams that happens to have a lot of offensive line depth. And I know there's a lot of Giants front office folks, floating around watching these joint practices. Push comes to shove, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those backup Cleveland offensive linemen winds up on the Giants roster in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they have a couple of interesting guys. I think there's a guy named Michael Dunn. I don't know if they'll cut him necessarily, but or even if it's a trade or something. But he made his first start of his career in the playoffs last year when one of the linemen got COVID and he didn't allow a single pressure. So he's interesting, and they have a couple other guys that I think the Giants would definitely look at.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So let's turn to the other side of the ball. Let's turn to the Giants defense. And I know that that the Giants gave up that sort of Hail Mary touchdown, you know, and I think it was a 2 minute drill. How did you think that the Giants defense, you know, held up overall in the 11 on 11 yesterday?
Yeah, you know, that last 2 minute drill, maybe in air quotes, cause the Browns were like taking their time and I'm pretty sure 2 minutes would have expired. I think Baker Mayfield had like 11 pass attempts. You know, and he only completed like five of them, but like the problem was they kept giving up third down conversions on that drive, and the touchdown, like, I'm not sure if it was would actually been a touchdown, cause you know, Trent Harris and Lorenzo Carter looked like they might've sacked Baker Mayfield, or at least like pressured him into not throwing it. But you know, and even Kevin Stefanski said he even almost blew the whistle on that. So I don't know if it necessarily would have been a touchdown, but either way, like even if it was technically a sack, like they should have defended that better. Like the 2 minute defense, that was a problem. But otherwise, I think the defense played pretty well. The one issue they had was with Jarvis Landry, which is something I wrote about this morning, actually. He was like dominating the secondary. He's a very talented player. But I think it kind of emphasizes that for as good as the secondary is, I think there still are questions about how they're going to be able to defend the slot. Cause I'm high in Darnay Holmes. I think he showed some flashes last year. He took his bumps. I think he struggled a bit in camp, but that's definitely not like a guaranteed guy that you can necessarily rely on to stop guys like Landry. So I think that's something to keep an eye on, but yeah, I mean, otherwise, you know, James Bradbury is still shutting things down. I think there's a lot of pressure. I think Lorenzo Carter looked great. I think it was his first full practice in a while. O'Shane Zimenez is looking pretty good. Trent Harris has been getting a lot of reps with the first team. Aziz Ojulari had a few pressures. So I'd say in terms of that stuff, like I thought it went pretty well.
It's interesting. I wanted to ask you about the slot because my thought with the Giants in the slot is obviously Darnay Holmes is option one. We haven't seen Aaron Robinson at all since rookie minicamp. I'm guessing at this point that he lands on the PUP list to start the season or stays on the PUP list. But the way I think about the Giants in the slot is they have a lot of options, but do they have one really, really good option? I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, no, I do. Because if you look at, even if Aaron Robinson was healthy in theory, I mean, he's a rookie, and rookie corners, especially at nickel. Like I think Jerome Henderson phrased it well. He called like a nickel corner like the traffic cop because they're just like in the middle of the field and there's like so much going on around them and it's tough for a rookie to come in, and you know that's why teams were targeting Darnay a lot last year. So even if Robinson was healthy, which he's not, I don't know if you can call that like you can be confident in him. And there are other options. You know, they'll probably get, you know, McKinney get some snaps in the slot. Julian Love has gotten some snaps in camp. These are guys that don't really have any experience playing slot corner necessarily. I mean, the one that does is Logan Ryan, but I think they like where they have him at safety. And so, I mean, I think they're going to try and get creative. I think you trust Patrick Graham to get creative there. You know, they short up the other side with the Dory Jackson, but that the nickel is definitely an issue. And you hope that Darnay, playing against Sterling Shepard every practice and then going against Landry can only help him. And you hope that he takes the positive lessons out of this, I would say.
All right. Hey, the one thing, you know, that we all try to learn, we all try to pick up is little hints here and there about who's going to make the roster, you know, who might be in trouble, how the Giants might be planning on using some of the personnel that they have. Couple things that have surprised me maybe is even in the preseason game. And from what I understood yesterday was how much the Giants are using Trent Harris, you know, for example. I'm curious if there's anything else that you've picked up on, just maybe in defensive alignments, and even special teams alignments that give you, you know, a hint, you know, at least in your mind, as to, you know, some of these bubble guys or maybe some surprise guys who you think who you think might stick on the 53.
That's a good question. I would say, yeah, Trent Harris is one in particular that sticks out. I don't think any of us are talking about Trent Harris coming into camp, and it seems like they really like him. He gets reps on special teams too, but he's been getting a lot of first team reps with guys banged up. I think Nico Lalos has been getting a lot of interesting reps.
I can't figure out how Lalos makes this roster, because I keep as much as people like him and as much as I like him, I keep coming back to Lalos or O'Shane Zimenez, and I keep coming back to the fact that I think draft pick wins.
Yeah. I mean, I think the coaches love Lalos, and he's always around the ball. I mean, maybe they feel like they could sneak him onto the practice squad. It's going to be, especially if a guy like Trent Harris makes it, it gets tougher for Lalos, but I don't know. It just depends on what numbers the Giants try to keep, you know, in certain positions and stuff like that. But I'm trying to think. Let's see. So the guy they just traded for, Keon Crossan and Josh Jackson, you know, I'm interested in those and see how they use those guys. They were getting some reps on the defense yesterday. Gary Brightwell has been getting a lot of like first team special teams reps. He hasn't really played much during camp because he's been banged up. But I think he still has a really good chance of making the team. Trying to think here.
Let me ask you about a specific one.
Yeah, go for it.
I've been really curious about the fact that the Giants have two fullbacks in camp, two fullbacks who happen to be really, really good special teams players in Eli Penny and Cullen Gillespie. And knowing Joe Judge and knowing the fact that you know, the Giants lost Levine Tuilolo, and I guess Cole Hikutini came up hurt yesterday. Don't know how badly he's hurt. Floating around in the back of my mind somewhere is this idea that because they're both such good special teams players, that Joe Judge could find a way to keep both of those guys on the roster somehow.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't shock me. Gillespie does get a lot of special teams reps. And I would say Eli Penny's been getting a surprising amount of like actual touches on offense. He's been getting some carries. He had a really nice catch yesterday. I think, like, I don't know, maybe they're trying to test out if he can be an actual part of the offense, which would be interesting and would make it harder for somebody like Gary Brightwell to make the team ultimately. But I mean, that's interesting. And even just in that vein, like even a guy like Ryan Santoso, like I think he's looked really impressive in camp. He's a guy that can play punter and kicker and do kickoffs. Like if Joe Judge is going to keep multiple guys at a position, like if any coach was going to keep two kickers, Joe Judge would probably be the one to do it. I don't know if they'll necessarily do it. I'm sure, you know, they'll probably cut him initially and hope that he gets through the practice squad. He's good enough to be a kicker in this league, but yeah, I mean, the special teams is like where, again, I've written about this and I've asked Joe about this. Like when it comes down to those bubble guys, whether or not you play special teams is going to make or break it. And that's why I don't think David Sills is as much of a lock as a lot of fans seem to think, because he doesn't really have a special teams role. Whereas CJ Board is like one of their best gunners and he's one of their top returners and he's not so bad at receiver either. And, you know, and they have a few guys like that. What they traded for Keon Crossan. Most teams don't trade for special teams players. So like special teams is where you might find a surprise guy like a Gillespie making the team, I would say.
Yeah. I have a hard time with Sills, to be honest with you. And I keep doing, and I just released another one this morning. I've been doing sort of weekly 53 man, you know, roster projection updates as the preseason, you know, and training camp have been going along. And I know it's with my heart. I know it is, but I cannot bring myself to drop Sills from the 53 man roster. The kid had such a good training camp last year. He's having another really, really good training camp this year. I mean, the kid moved within 10 miles of Daniel Jones during the off season, and he trailed Daniel Jones around the country like a puppy dog, trying to, you know, to help Jones, you know, get work in and basically to put himself in a better position. I mean, I want the kid to make the roster. I mean, I'll be honest about that. I want the kid to make the roster. I can't bring myself to cut him when I do these projections, but you're 100% right. If it comes down to special teams, I don't know. CJ Board probably has a better chance.
Yeah. And even like, and I agree, like in terms of like offense and on the field, like he's looked very impressive, but you also like in theory, if everybody's healthy in that wide receiver room, and I mean, his best chance of making it might be if John Ross just doesn't get healthy and they just either move on from him or put Ross on IR or something. But in theory, you know, they have Golladay, they have Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Kadarius Toney, John Ross. Those are five guys that are all going to get on the field before David Sills in theory, or at least four of them will, if Ross isn't in the mix. And so that fifth receiver is not going to be – fifth or sixth receiver is pretty rarely going to be on the field for offense. So their role is primarily going to be on special teams. So if David Sills can't prove himself on special teams, like when it comes down to that, like the numbers, like it's just hard to see him unless they decide to keep seven receivers, which I guess isn't impossible if they just don't want to lose Sills. But that's kind of where I go back to. Like in terms of performance, he deserves it for sure. And I would maybe even keep him overboard. But knowing how much this team values special teams, it's a tough road for him.
Sure. So, hey, last thing to talk about is expectations for today. Did Joe give you guys any indication, you know, of whether they're going to do some things differently today or just in general, what might you be looking for, you know, in this afternoon's practice?
I think it'll look pretty similar. I think they're going to do the 2-minute thing at the end. I think there is going to be more red zone work today. So maybe that's a time where a guy like Sills can thrive. It'll be interesting to see how the defense handles themselves and that. I mostly kept my eye on the offense. I'll try and watch some more of the defense today. I think the offense is there's so many more questions on that side. So I'm still just like kind of curious how they look and it's going to be interesting to see if the Giants can bounce back from the way practice ended yesterday. I would say is the thing I'm most looking at.
Yeah, it didn't end well, I guess, with the 2-minute drill on either side of the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked to Judge before practice, so we didn't really get to get his reaction yesterday, but so we'll be able to see like what he thought about how that ended. And then, you know, we'll see if they respond and all that, but yeah, you know, and then today I'm going to try and keep an eye on the offensive line in particular, because I want to see how those guys look.
All right. Hey, Zach, appreciate your spending some time with me this morning. Why don't you just remind folks where they can find your work on Twitter and elsewhere.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter at Zach Blatt, ZACKBLATT. And then, NJ.com/Giants. You can find all my work.
All right. Hey, thanks again, Giants fans. Thank you for listening. Please remember, stay safe out there. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.